at that passage there in Colossians. We carry on there with Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 this morning. And the other day as I was reading through some things and looking at different things, I was thinking about Paul and his prayers and so forth. And, you know, at the beginning of his letters, he oftentimes predominantly talks about the believers at a particular church or you know, to a certain person, and he talks about praying for them. And I thought, well, you know, it's a good way of starting the year off, is this aspect or this understanding of praying for other believers, praying for those around us, and kind of give us an example of one thing that we can be praying for. And so as I was thinking about that, Colossians chapter 1, starting there in verse 9, really kind of hit with me on that. But we come to this morning and, you know, we say Happy New Year. And this past week or so, you've probably heard that phrase quite often, Happy New Year. And especially after Christmas, you know, people said that. One of the cutest things is this time of the year, you can go up to somebody and say, hey, I'll see you next year, and knowing that that's just the next day, and that kind of thing. And see, we do those kinds of things this time of year, and we have possibly our New Year's resolutions and things like that that we do. You know, some of us, we think, you know, we're going to start doing this routine that we haven't done for the last 40 years of our lives, and we're going to think that we're going to go ahead and start a new routine and make it work. And we call those New Year's resolutions, right? It's hard to do, but there's one aspect of this thing that we as believers should make a practice and habit of doing, and that is having a solid, consistent prayer life. And as we look at that, what does people like Paul and others in Scripture have to say about prayer? So that's what we're going to look at this morning, is what Paul did when he encountered people. What did he pray about for those people? And so as we look at this morning, think of this as from the aspect as one who's placed their faith in Christ. You personally have access to God. You don't have to go through somebody else. You have the ability to go to God. And that's a special thing that we have because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. As many of you know, we've been talking about it, 16th of January, I finished the surgery that I started back in June of last year. And thinking of that aspect of that, it reminds me of just all the people that's prayed for me. This morning, my mom, I don't have my phone with me, my mom sent me a text and she said, praying for you about, I guess, a year ago, maybe now. She started doing that every morning before she would take off to, now she's an hour ahead of us, it's okay. So she was taking off to church. She'd send me a text saying, hey, I'm praying for you this morning, love you. And so she started doing that. I think about all the times that, you know, people are like, hey, listen, I'm praying for you, whether it is when I had my transplant, no matter whatever it is in life, somebody's praying for me. And that's an encouragement. Somebody is talking to the Lord about me, and that is a huge encouragement to me. And so, oftentimes we ask for prayer concerning things that are discouraging in life, things that we struggle with in life. But the thing about prayer is that we can go to God also with the things that are encouraging, things that are exciting as well. We take those things and we can bring those things to the Lord as also. And so we see that prayer is more than just bringing our requests, you might say, to Him. Many of you probably could say that you have struggled with understanding maybe some aspect or, you know, some part of who God is. Maybe some of you have struggled with knowing and understanding what God wants you to do in life and so forth. And so prayer is more, it goes beyond just, hey, you know, I'm struggling, pray for this. Prayer is also, hey, listen, Lord, give me clarity of thought and mind about what's going on in my life and help me to process those things the right way. So that what? So I can be doing those things that bring glory and honor to you, that's pleasing to you. And we're going to see that's kind of what Paul hints at here in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, is he's saying, hey, listen, you pray and ask the Lord for an understanding of his will in your life, for understanding what he desires for you to do in a certain situation or whatever it may be. And so we're going to read about Paul's prayer for these believers in Colossae. And so Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read them starting in verse 9. And as we start doing that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I appreciate Brad starting us off there in Colossians this morning. It sets the, kind of, you might say, sets the tone for the book of Colossians. And I appreciate Brad reading that first part there here in chapter 1. But we're going to pick up in verse 9, but before we do so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul, his ministry. We thank you that that we have that as part of your word, what he has done for the churches, the church back in those days. We have that written down. We have that to glean from and to look at. And Lord, it's your word. It's what you've preserved for us that we can have. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that that you inspired these people to write these things, to put these things down, so that we can have them today, so that we can glean from them. And it's to your glory. It's to your honor. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us through the life of Paul. And just the aspect of what you did for us through him. And as we read this morning how he interacted with the believers in Colossae, help us to understand what his prayer was for them. As we look at this here in these verses this morning, help us to understand what the desire should be as far as we're concerned today, how we can pray for each other in that aspect as well. We thank you again for what you've given us in your word, that we can read it and glean from it. And then, Lord, help me this morning to clearly look at that this morning and present this as well. We thank you again for what you've provided for us, especially in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. And so, starting in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And so..." And it's saying that because of what was just previously mentioned, talking about the church there in Colossae and Epaphras, who is a servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So based on that, starting in verse 9, he says, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Paul, of course, is the writer writing to the Colossians there, and he is writing with his typical introduction and greeting there in verses 1 through 8. He states who he is, states his intended audience, and he explains that he is thankful for them. And he's thankful for them because of their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for the saints, their love for other believers. Though it is not the focus of this message, the end of this chapter focuses on what we would call high Christology. Maybe in your Bible it has the title there starting in verse 15, the preeminence of Christ. And so it really dives into the aspect of who Jesus is. It's talking about the work of the cross, the relationship of Christ to the Godhead. But the focus that we're going to look at this morning is that prayer that Paul had for those believers. And we can use that as a guide for us in this coming year. And so in these verses, there are two points that we're going to point out. Number one, pray for God's will. And number two, live in God's will. And that's the two things that he addresses in this passage. He prays for the will of God. He prays for the will of God in their lives. And he prays, how that works out. How do you live in God's will? And he discusses those things. And so the first thing that we're going to look at is pray for God's will. And so in this passage, Paul's prayer is that the Colossian believers be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And the idea behind being filled has to do with a life that is consumed or focused on what God desires. And there's two aspects to this. There's a spiritual aspect, and then there's the practical aspect. Notice what he says here as far as the spiritual aspect is concerned. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. All spiritual wisdom and understanding. So there's a spiritual aspect for this. And so there's a desire for us to understand that spiritual nature of his plan. The life that we live and the world that we live in is all too often caught up in more of the physical, more of, what we can gain as far as our wealth, our money, our influence, notoriety, whatever it may be. There's more of a physical aspect of it instead of a spiritual aspect of it. And Paul desires for these, for the believers there in Colossae to have an understanding of the spiritual impact, the spiritual understanding of this. And so there is that spiritual aspect. We are to understand that. What is that spiritual aspect? Well, that can be different for the situation that you're going into. But there's going to be a spiritual aspect to it. There's going to be something that, hey, God says, hey, listen, I want, there needs to be something that relates it to God and the things of God. And I want you to understand how that works. And that's what Paul is desiring for them to have, is that perspective. That perspective is going to be an eternal perspective and a kingdom-minded perspective. In other words, you're not focused on this world, my world, and the things that this world has to offer. It's going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to be focused on what God desires out of this situation. I'm going to be focused on things that's going to promote the kingdom of God. And so how that works out in each situation can be different, but that is that desire, is how does this work in an eternal mindset, and how does this work in God's kingdom? And so the Word of God, along with the Holy Spirit, is going to help us to understand this. This is not memorizing God's Word. We can memorize God's Word, but if we don't understand how to apply it and understand how it works on an eternal scale in the kingdom of God, that's great that you've memorized it. That helps. But there's more to it than just rote memorization. You can know all the Bible stories. You can know all of those things. But there's an aspect of God's Word that you need to take from just understanding it from a mental perspective to understanding it in a spiritual perspective. And so Paul's desire is for them to have that spiritual aspect. Understand it from a spiritual aspect. And so as we look at this, the spiritual should impact the practical. And that's what the next point there is, that there's a practical aspect of this. So you understand the spiritual aspect of it. We are trying to implement this in a spiritual way. How does that practically look? How does that work out? And so there's a practical aspect to it. And so the idea is to be fully or completely pleasing to the Lord. To know what to do and not to do it is wrong, but also to know what not to do and to do it is wrong also. But God's Word goes beyond a bunch of rules and regulations. We can sit here and learn that from God's Word. We can say, yes, God, this is what you want me to do in this situation. This is what you want me to do in that situation. Not do this, not do that. But there's more to it. There's a spiritual aspect to this thing as well. And how does that practically play out in our lives? And so there is that aspect to that. And so God's word goes beyond a bunch of rules and regulations. Its goal is to make the believer understand the deeper things of God. The deeper things. You think, what are those deeper things? Well, they're out there. You're going to have to get your mind in the Word of God. You're going to have to get your mind in that focus. It's an eternal mindset. It's a kingdom mindset. And once you start getting your mind into that, you're going to start seeing these things come about clearer and how they work out. I think C.S. Lewis really brought this out quite well in the Chronicles of Narnia when he's talking about Aslan and the things of Aslan. And in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there was always a deeper part to things. And there was something that was deeper. Everybody knew kind of the surface level of everything. Everybody kind of knew, you know, the stone table and what the stone table meant. Everybody kind of knew that there was certain things that they followed, they lived by. There was always this certain aspect that everybody kind of knew a general understanding of. But it wasn't until they had Aslan come that they said, hey, listen, now we understand that there's a deeper part of this. And they had to learn and understand that deeper aspect and put that into practice. And Aslan did that deeper part and practiced that deeper part, which that one thing was, Aslan, when he died on the stone table for somebody else, death was put into reverse. So there was an aspect of a deeper thing that was going on. And C.S. Lewis, he brings that out, that with God, there's always something deeper going on. And he wants you to understand that from his standpoint. Now, does that mean it's always something that we like and think is wonderful? No, because we think about it from our standpoint, from our own mindset. But from God's standpoint, God's saying, hey, this is how it is. This is how it's working out. And I want you to understand it, not on your mindset, not on your level, but on God's level, an eternal mindset and a kingdom mindset. And so we see this working out. And so Paul's goal was for the believer to not see God's will as something that was out there, just some spiritual thing out there, but something that could actually be practically put into work. And so he wants them to understand that what they're doing has some practical aspect to it. And so whatever it is, it leads them to walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, a life that is pleasing to Him. And so we see the aspect of pray for God's will. Pray for God's will in your life. There's a spiritual aspect to it, and then there's a practical aspect to it. And then we come to the next point, and that is live in God's will. And so there are some things that Paul brings out that shows that basically this is living out God's will for your life. And so as we think about this, Paul, he doesn't introduce this idea, you might say, without giving it legs. He says, yeah, I want you to do God's will. I want you to figure that out. But he said, there's going to be some things that help with this aspect. There's going to be some things that you're going to see in the life of somebody who's living in God's will. And so those 4 points that you see up there is it bears fruit, increases in the knowledge of God, they're strengthening God's power, and then that last thing is there, they give thanks. They give thanks. And we're going to talk about that last one specifically. But number one, it bears fruit. And so as we read through this, Paul brings out the fact that we're to walk in a manner that's worthy to the Lord, pleasing to Him. And he says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it bears fruit. When we think of that aspect of bearing fruit, some of you might have thought of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, or gentleness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. People know who we are by our fruit. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Jesus spoke to those around him and said, hey, listen, I'm warning you about false prophets. And he says, guess what? You're going to know them by their fruit. You're going to know them by what comes out of them and how they do things, but also how they act. How they act. And so the fruit that's being discussed is not necessarily as much as their teachings, but how they behave themselves and how they conduct themselves. And so one aspect of this living in God's will is bearing fruit. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we live? And so forth. And so as we think about that, number two, increases in the knowledge of the Lord. One of the worst places to be in our life is to fool ourselves into thinking that we have spiritually arrived. That's one thing that really we get to this point where we think, hey, yeah, you know, I'm doing good, I'm doing great, I've got to that point. We think we understand, we think we know it. And the thing is, we don't always know it. We might think we do, but we don't always get there. One of the things that we have to remember is that aspect of that deeper stuff that's there. And increasing in the knowledge of the Lord sometimes says, hey, listen, you might know something, but how you apply that in your life might change in a situation. I'll give you an example here in just a minute. But I'm a finite human being, and I could never know and understand all of God. I'm a finite human being. I can't pack it into my brain. I just can't do it. One of the things I kind of want to relate this to is the other night, Michelle left an audio book on, and I stayed up listening to it where she fell fast asleep. And I'm pretty sure I'll hear it again because she'll turn it back on where she left off, which is where she fell asleep. So I'm sure I'll hear it all over again. But one of the things that she was doing, what this audiobook was about was the it's kind of like an autobiography of Tim Kesey. And in this book, he talked about a friend's experience with cancer. And he, too, has gone through cancer as well. And he was thinking back to his friend's experience. And one of the things that his friend experience showed him was that his friend called it a gift of cancer. And his friend struggled with cancer. It eventually took his life. But his friend called it a gift. And Tim was just like, I don't understand how he could call that a gift. And he couldn't understand. He finally asked him about that and asked him, how can you call cancer a gift? This is that aspect of increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. And this is what his friend said in reply. If it wasn't for his cancer, he would never have understood his wife in that way. And it was a gift to him. In other words, because he went through the cancer, it was a gift to him because he saw something in his wife that if it wasn't for the fact that he had, you know, gone through that cancer, he would not have seen that aspect of who she was. And he called it a gift. That's taking a step back and saying, hey, listen, there is something greater here than just me going through cancer. And, you know, I look back at that in my own personal life, and just here recently, if it wasn't for the treatments of that I was going through, if it wasn't for them not working, if it wasn't for that not working, they would not have found cancer when they did. It was because that was not working. And at the time, that was a struggle. But as I look back now, I'm thinking, I can see that now as a gift. You know, it wasn't that it was a burden on my life. It was God working in my life and doing something. What it was doing, it was increasing in my knowledge of God. It was increasing that aspect of my life. But now I'm not sitting here just looking at things as my own physical, personal experience. Now I'm saying, hey, listen, there is a more bigger picture, you might say, going on. There's a more spiritual aspect of things that are going on here. Things that I don't understand, things that I can't see. And it's increasing in the knowledge of God. If it wasn't for that, I would not have realized the cancer. And so my gift was that the medicines, they were not working. And the question is, could I see that as that gift? And as I look back now, I do see that as that gift. And I give God the praise for that. And so there's often this surface level of reading of Scripture. And it's to get beyond that and that understanding. And often we walk away from Scripture with the idea that we as believers, in some cases, there's people who believe this. There are some people who walk away saying that believers shouldn't have any problems. But we do. We do have problems. And upon a deeper understanding of God, His Word, a deeper understanding of our fallen condition, we soon understand that, yes, we should die of cancer. Yes, we should have heart attacks. Yes, we should have these things go on in our lives. Why? Because that's just the nature of who we are in our fallen state. That's the byproduct. It's called death. It happens. And so when God does things in our life and works in our life, that's the grace of God. That's the gift that God gives us. And can we too, like that gentleman that friend of Tim Kesey, can we say the same thing, that yeah, cancer was a gift because it opened his eyes to something. It helped him to see something that before he would not have seen, an aspect of life that he wouldn't have seen, all because of what God had done for him. And so, yes, there is something deeper there. The third thing there is strengthened with God's power. Strengthened with or in God's power. You know, we're going to know that we go through things in life that are hard. And there's going to be that increase of knowledge. But the thing is, we've got God who can strengthen us and help us through those. And somebody who is living in God's will, you're going to see that strength come out. You're going to see them resting and relying on that strength in their life because they know they can't do it. They throw their hands up and they say, hey, listen, there's nothing that can be done. And God, I'm going to rest and totally rely in your strength. And you're going to see that happening in that person's life. Bearing fruit and growing in our knowledge of God does not make the issues and problems of life go away. We need God's power to preserve us, to endure, to help us be patient. Preserving is the act of getting through the situation, while patience is the attitude in which that is accomplished. And hence, in this passage, it says that he is increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his gracious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Patience with joy. God is there to help us get through life. He's there to help us get through it with patience, with joy. And so there's that aspect of it. Number four. And so as we are living in God's will, there's one thing that you're going to see that should be an outpouring of somebody's life, is that aspect of giving thanks. And so God desires for you to use his strength. God desires for us to endure. He desires for us to be patient. God has the power to redeem us, and he most certainly has the power to give that endurance and that patience. And by thinking of redemption, it should bring us to give thanks. Give thanks to God for that eternal life, that inheritance, as this passage calls it, that inheritance that we have of the saints in light. The thankfulness that is mentioned here is not polite, being polite. God, thank you for doing this. No. It's a genuine, heartfelt, as they would say, thankfulness. It's a thankfulness that grows out of life that has been given by the Father. A life that has been given to us through, of course, the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is what qualifies us. Matter of fact, that passage speaks to it, that nature. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. We've been qualified because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's the Father's plan. It's the Father's work in salvation. He's delivered us from darkness. He's transferred us to the Son's kingdom by redeeming us and forgiving us in Christ Jesus. Understand your salvation. being thankful for all that has been accomplished. A genuine thankfulness. And so, as we look back at this, you think, well, what is this, how does this work out? How can you pray? Let's say, how can you pray for me? How can you pray for me? Number one, help me understand God's will in the situation. You know, I can know all of the facts and figures, but help me connect all the dots. Help me to understand all of these things. Why? Because I want to be able to put legs on it. I want it to actually have some practical influence, not only in my own personal life, but in the life of those around me. And so, yes, there is God's will. Pray that I understand what it is, that I see the spiritual aspect of it, and then I can practically put that into play. And then pray that as I am living out God's will, that I am bearing fruit, that happens, that I'm growing and increasing in that aspect of bearing fruit. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all of those aspects that are coming out. Those should be things that are constantly growing in my life, that you should see those things blossoming, you might say, bearing fruit. And then I pray that I understand and have that increase in knowledge, that I do understand God's will, but I understand it and I keep understanding it, and it doesn't get old. Because you can read God's word and read the same thing and just keep reading it over and over to read it, but don't let God's word kind of get old. As it works out and plays out into your life, you understand how it impacts your life differently. You see the spiritual aspect and you see how it can be practically put into play. Increase in the knowledge of God. If you ever see me get to the point that I have reached my limit, be praying for me, because that's a bad place for me to be. I constantly need to be challenged in that as well. Increase in the knowledge of God. And then in praying, you know, Just as you go through things that are hard in life, you go through things that are good in life, but there's also times you go through life and it's just like, I just don't know. And you just kind of like, I don't know where I'm at, I don't know where I'm going. And that's when you also have to lean into the Lord and say, hey, Lord, strengthen me during this time, because it seems like life is going nowhere. You almost wish you had a difficult circumstance to go to lean into, because at least then you know that life is going somewhere. But no, there's times in life you're just like, I don't know where it's going. You still need to lean into the Lord there. And so there's that aspect of strengthening God's power. Lord, if anything, you can pray for each other and just say, hey, Lord, strengthen them. I don't know what that person's going through today. I don't know what that person's going to go through tomorrow, but Lord, help them to understand who you are, and that they can rest and rely on who you are and the strength that you can provide. And then the last thing is, give thanks to God for your redemption. Give thanks to God for your redemption. In the grand scheme of things of life, the greatest thing that has ever been done for us is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's that eternal aspect. Help me, Lord, to be eternal-minded. Help me to understand how this relates to the kingdom, because God loved us so much that Christ came to die for us so that we could be part of that kingdom. That we could be part of that plan. And so you're going to see those things play out. So as we go throughout this year, pray for one another. Pray that we continue to understand who God is, that we continue to grow in that. Here in a few weeks, we're going to have our business meeting at the end of the month. And I believe it was the 26th. I think that was right. And one of the things that, as we come to that business meeting, one of the things that I want us to start thinking about is our slogan for the church is to know Christ and to make him known. And the challenge is for us to know Christ. And out of knowing and understanding who he is and what Christ has done for us, we take that out and we make him known. It's an outflow of our relationship with him to know Christ and to make him known. And so this kind of helps us get in that mindset this morning. So as we look around each other in this church and we think about the different things that are going on, yeah, that person's life may be going great. Still pray for them. That person over here may be struggling right now. Pray for them. In both situations of life, that person needs God. They need to understand how their life relates to the eternal aspect and to the kingdom aspect. And so we need to be praying for one another in that aspect as well. So let's, as we think about that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to pray. And then we're going to close with there is a Redeemer. To kind of think about this aspect at the end, you know, Paul, he brings this aspect of redemption into the picture of all of this. And it's on the heels of this prayer for the believers in Colossae. It's on the heels of this prayer that he goes into this high Christology when he really starts talking about Christ and who he is and that he has the preeminence and so forth. And it's a way of saying thank you. And so we're going to sing there is a Redeemer here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and this opportunity that we've been able to come. But Lord, help us to understand how we can pray for each other. Help us to understand how we can encourage one another. And Lord, we know how you work in our lives. The Holy Spirit is that aid that we have that we can go to and lean into. Lord, you have given us a great thing in the Holy Spirit. Help us to use that. Help us to utilize that. In understanding who and what you have going on in our lives, and so that we can come to that point in our lives that where we can see the good and the bad both as gifts. That we see how your grace is working and how your mercy is being poured out and how your love is being shown. Lord, help us to change our mindset from that of just our world around us to that kingdom mindset, of that eternal mindset. And Lord, we just need to understand that spiritual. And then help us to put that in practice. Help us to put that aspect in practice. As we live out your will in our lives, help us to bear that fruit. Help us to increase and continue to increase in our knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, to understand that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can lean into your strength, whether it's for the good things, the bad things, or the places where we just don't know what's going on. Lord, we can lean into you, and we can draw strength from you. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, above all, for what you have done for us in Christ. And that salvation that you've given us. Help us to keep that on our minds. Help us to be thankful for that. To not take that for granted. What Christ has done for us is so wonderful. And we give you praise for that this morning. Lord, there is a Redeemer. We know that Redeemer. We thank you again for what you've provided for us in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand with us.